Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing the rapture, truth or fiction. Now there is a lot to cover regarding this topic, and we will discuss the most major points. Now this is not an exhaustive study, but we encourage you to listen to Dr. Chuck Missler. He's an excellent Bible teacher who is now in heaven, who we have gleaned from in presenting this podcast. Now, first of all, what is the rapture? It is a catching away of the church either before or in the middle or at the end of the seven-year period. Now, a pre-tribulation view teaches that the rapture of the church, both dead and the living saints, will occur before the seven-year tribulation period. That is, before the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel in Daniel 9, 24 through 27.
You know, and some say because the word rapture is not in the Bible, it isn't true. But it is in the Latin Vulgate Bible.
That's right.
It's the word rapio, which means to seize or carry off. And then the Greek term is called harpazo, or snatched away.
That's right. You know, the debate over this doctrine is due to a person's hermeneutics or interpretation of the Bible. Now, those who take the Bible more allegorical will lean towards a post-tribulation view. Most denominations fall into this category. Now, those who interpret the Bible more literal will follow a pre-tribulation view. Now, the argument against a pre-tribulation rapture is that it's never taught in the early church. But that's false. Here are some of the people that taught it. The Epistle of Barnabas, Irenaeus, Hippolytus, Justin Martyr, Ephraim of Nisibis, and then from the 1600s to the 1800s, Peter Juria, Philip Doddridge, Dr. John Gill, James McKnight, and Thomas Scott. They all taught that.
Exactly. So that is false, as you said. And Another argument people bring up against a pre-tribulation rapture is they say, oh, that's an escape mentality. There are also those who claim that if you believe in the pre-trib rapture position, you have an escape mentality. So in other words, you are selfish and you don't care about humanity. You just want to get out of here. You know, this is not the case at all. As we know, we are to fulfill our assignments and take every opportunity to share God's word with others while we're still here. We can only take people with us to heaven, so we must be soul winners as long as possible.
That's right. It doesn't
mean you have an escape mentality.
Exactly. You know, and those who attack the rapture doctrine also argue and say something like, why do we think we'll escape persecution when so many of our brothers and sisters overseas are regularly tortured and killed for their faith? Well, if you believe in the rapture, it doesn't mean you believe we will not experience persecution. Persecution has always been here. Christians who live in countries more favorable to freedom and whose founders believed and acknowledged God in its founding laws have enjoyed less severe persecution.
That makes sense. You know, we are to look forward, though, to his coming and comfort one another with these words as mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 18, which says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's that word, rapio, or harpazo in the Greek, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So telling one another we're getting close to being beheaded and going through the tribulation isn't too comforting, right?
That's right.
Paul saying it's something to comfort one another about.
Right.
So if you study the book of Revelation, you will discover the unimaginable terror and destruction that will take place during the tribulation. I mean, you would absolutely want to escape that.
That's right. You know, there's several problems also with the mid and post-tribulation positions. First, the post-trib has the most difficulty, and it's the imminency issue. You know, the Bible tells us to be watchful and ready, as we do not know when the Lord is coming. Well, with a post-tribulation view, the second coming would be known very close to the day of his return, and if the rapture takes place at the end, we know when it It is. Daniel 12 and Revelation 11 both mention 1290 days after the abomination of desolation, or when the Antichrist breaks a false peace treaty with Israel and occupies the Jewish temple setting himself to be worshipped. So you see, we know the day. It tells you 1290 days from the day he sets up his image.
Yeah, so just as you said, we would know very closely that the rapture is to happen just prior to the end of the 1290-day time period. There would be no imminency, no feeling of, hey, it could happen at any moment. That would be removed.
Right.
You know, and Revelation tells us that most all of the Christians will die during that time. So again, that would leave very little to rapture.
Right, and we'll look at some of those verses ahead. You know, and God pours out his wrath during that time, so his wrath would then be poured out on the church also. This goes completely contrary to God's nature. Now, he nourishes his people, cherishes them, and protects them all through history. Now, why now would he beat up his bride and have killed them, then return and say, let's go for a quick bite in heaven, but I have to return right away? Well, that doesn't sound like a honeymoon dinner to me, nor how God would treat his bride. You know, also, God could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until he removed his people. He did not afflict his people with the 10 plagues that he brought upon Egypt. He protected them. He did not destroy Noah and his family in the flood. And he did not destroy Nineveh since they repented. So God's a loving God.
That's a good point. And the mid-tribulation view has some problems also. You know, number one, it doesn't follow the pattern of the Jewish wedding tradition, which we'll touch on later. And number two, God's purpose for the 7 years is to deal with Israel, not the church. The two are mutually exclusive. So the 70th week of Daniel is a week of years dealing with Israel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to study that to know that.
Right.
And then number three, Noah's ark door was left open for 7 days, which represents 7 years open for people to get saved during that period. The 3.5 years doesn't fit with the many patterns of sevens in Revelation. That right. would be that mid-trib
right.
time period.
And the pre-tribulation position has much more scriptural support, as we will see. First of all, the wrath is poured out during God's wrath is poured out during the tribulation. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath is come." Revelation 11:18 says, "And thy wrath is come." Revelation 14:7, "For the hour of his judgment is come." Zephaniah 1:18 says, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Proverbs 11:23, "But the expectation of the wicked is wrath." Colossians 3:6 says, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." And one more verse, Nahum 1:2 says, "He reserves wrath for his enemies." So see, the wrath is for his enemies, not for his children. You know, the church is not the object of God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Not just hell, but any wrath. And then Revelation 6:16, the unsaved are trying to hide from the wrath of the Lamb.
Those are really good points, you know, and God poured out his wrath on Jesus. So we, if we receive Jesus Christ, don't have to take his wrath.
That's right.
You know, and also number two, the gates of hell shall not prevail is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18. He said, my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But in Revelation 13:7, it's talking about the Antichrist making war with the saints and to overcome them. The Antichrist overcomes the saints in Revelation and during the tribulation. So that's contrary to what Jesus said. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Exactly.
And then, you know, number three, it's the church of Thyatira in the letters to the churches, Revelation 2:22. Jesus said to that church, "I'll cast her into great tribulation, except they repent." So if they repent, that means they're not going into it.
Right. That's clear. You know, then point four, the Philadelphia church. Revelation 3:10 says, "I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." And that's from
the Greek. Yeah, it says the word ek, I think it is. That also means, you know, that's where we get the word exit.
Exit.
is the hour of trial. He'll keep us from it. So that's like exiting out of it.
That's a really good point. Luke 21:36 says, "Watch ye therefore, that ye may be counted worthy to escape, not endure these things." So, you know, that's just a general warning to the church, but to be alert and ready and so forth. Isaiah 26:20 and verse 21 says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." And indignation is also mentioned in Romans 2:8 and 9, indignation and wrath. So this verse could be referring to the rapture or just to the Jewish people that are being protected during the tribulation.
In Petra.
In Petra, right. It could be one or the other. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but that's a hint. There's another possibility. Zephaniah 2:3 says, "Seek ye the Lord. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Okay, hid. That's either all of us or just those Jewish people. Not sure. Psalms 27:5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." And then Matthew 25:10 says, "And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut."
So that's speaking of the parable of the 10 virgins, right? That
right.
Matthew 25.
Yes.
And they all thought they were saved, but 50% of them were not ready and they were not allowed in.
That's right.
You know, Jesus told them he did not know them. And in other verses, he said, you know, they said in that parable, "Lord, Lord," you know, like, "let us in."
Right.
So exactly. That's should put the fear of the Lord in us as believers. We want to be ready and living for Christ.
Right. Then point five.
And then point five mentions about, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that Christ comes in the air. That's the rapture. And then Zechariah 14:4, Christ comes to the earth, the second coming. So there are two distinct events.
Yeah, it
comes in the air or comes to the earth.
Right.
And then 1 Thessalonians 4:17, he comes for his saints. And also 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he comes with his saints. So there's a difference for his saints and with his saints, right?
Right.
And then Jude 14, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So if we're not with him already, how can we come back with him? Bring him, you know what I mean?
Right.
If it's done right there at the end, we do a quick U-turn and then we come
right.
back.
That doesn't make sense. And then the Believer's Bible and Matthew Henry's commentary and MacArthur commentary all state Revelation 19:14 is inclusive of angels and saints coming with Jesus Christ. So we are already in heaven and come back with him. So that's clear. Point seven, 1 Corinthians 15:51 says the rapture is a mystery. The second coming is not. Psalm 72, Isaiah 11, Zechariah 14 talk about the second coming. So the rapture is a mystery, separate. Point eight, the rapture takes place in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52, where the second coming will be visible worldwide. Matthew 24:27 says, "For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." And Revelation 1:7 says, "He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." So see, the second coming, every eye sees him. The rapture, only the church see him. So there's a distinction there. Point nine is no date is given for the rapture. It's imminent. But yet an elaborate dating is given for the second coming. Daniel 7:25, Daniel 12:7, Daniel 11 and 12, Revelation 11:2, Revelation 12:14, and Revelation 13:5. So there's an elaborate date given.
For the second coming.
For the second coming.
Isn't there more spoken about the second coming than his first coming? That's what I've heard through the scriptures, right?
Yes, much more.
And point 10 is, you know, John 14:3. Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you." So if the rapture is at the end of the tribulation, then it says he comes back, and then it says he comes back with his saints, and he's not again, he's not coming for them. He's coming back with them.
Right. And you said he came. "I will come again and receive you."
And receive you.
That's a difference.
And 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Again, Revelation 19:7 and 8 and verse 14.
State states the same thing.
Yeah, states the same thing. And then also an interesting point that Dr. Chuck Missler made is point 11, you know, before war, the military always calls the ambassadors home. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're called ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So that's just an interesting
point.
And then number 12, you know, it says the restrainer is removed before Antichrist is revealed in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And most of the commentaries say the restrainer is either the church or the Holy Spirit, which would be both because the Holy right. Spirit is in his church.
Right.
And then also point 13 is, you know, the woman mentioned in Revelation 12:5 is Israel. It is not the church.
Right. It's very clear.
It's very clear. It's speaking of Israel.
Exactly. And all the commentaries back that. Then point 14, Noah's Ark door was left open for 7 days, Genesis 7:4. And in Genesis 7:16, it says, and the Lord shut him in. Now, this is a type of the church, Israel, and the tribulation period. Enoch was taken up bodily into heaven just before the flood. Enoch was a Gentile and represents the church. The door to the ark was left open 7 days, which represents 7 years of the tribulation period when people on the earth can still get saved if they did not take the mark of the beast. And God shut the door after the 7 days. The end of 7 years, salvation is ended. The eight in the ark represent the Jews who are kept safe escaping to Petra. The eight in the ark are preserved through the storm, just as those Jews will be in Petra. Revelation 12, 14 through 17 states that the woman, Israel, is kept safe for 3.5 years, but not all Jews, as verse 17 states.
Yeah, that's a great type, Noah's Ark.
Right.
And Enoch, you know, and point 15, a post-tribulation rapture does have another issue. You know, with these next five verses that we're going to share, it appears that most of the saints are killed in the destruction taking place during the tribulation, or they are beheaded. So how many people would be left to rapture?
That's right.
Now listen to Revelation 6, 9 through 11. I'm just going to highlight part of the verses. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And he replied, a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed.
So saying they all had to be killed, just
yes,
like them.
Yes, exactly.
Then Revelation 7, 9 says, after these things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. And they stood before the Lamb clothed in white robes. There's more people, again, that were killed, a number which no one could number.
And it tells you who they are in Revelation 17. It says that these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation.
Right. That's Revelation 7, 14. And then Revelation 20, verse 4 says, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark. So again, see, they're beheaded.
Yeah, there's not going to be very many people left to rapture.
Right.
You know, and Jesus said in Matthew 24, 22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved.
That's very clear. So there wouldn't be many people to rapture.
Exactly.
You know, go ahead with there's a few Old Testament patterns.
Yes, well, you mentioned already the Old Testament patterns or types. You mentioned Enoch and the flood of Noah already.
Right.
But also, this is a neat one. During the threshing floor scene, Ruth is at Boaz's feet. And Ruth is a type of Gentile. She was a Gentile who represents the church. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer who represents Christ. And the threshing is a violent act to separate wheat from chaff. And Ruth was with Boaz, as the church will be with Jesus during the violence and destruction of the tribulation.
Oh, that's an excellent type.
And another type is Daniel's absence from the fiery furnace. You know, the three Hebrew boys were preserved through the fire, like Israel's preserved through it, but Daniel was removed from it.
Right. Then a New Testament type of the pre-tribulation rapture is in Revelation 4:1. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Now this is John being caught up into heaven, and this is prior to the judgments or start of the tribulation period. From this point on, there is no more talk of the church on the earth, as he represents the church and is now in heaven.
I like that. Yes.
So some take that as a pre-tribulation type.
Yeah, that's really good.
Rapture.
You know, and one of the most beautiful types in the Old Testament is the ancient Jewish wedding, the ketubah or the betrothal. You know, when the Jews got married, there was payment of the purchase price given, right?
Right.
And we know that was Jesus for us. And the bride was set apart or sanctified. And it's interesting that the bridegroom departs to the father's house. This is really what they did. And he went to prepare a room addition. But the bride is preparing for his imminent return, which could happen at any time. It was a surprise when the bridegroom came back. And which was then when he came back, there was shouts and, you know, festivities to just going into the wedding period. And then there was a 7-day marriage supper, you know, they celebrated with.
For 7 days.
For 7 days again. There's that seven. And Judges 14:12 speaks of that.
That's right. So it's like we'll be in heaven celebrating for the 7 years.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's interesting that the bridegroom departs to the father's house to prepare a room addition. Yet Jesus said also in John 14:2, he goes to prepare a place for us in heaven. And then he says, then I will come again for you.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't
it? So it follows right along that pattern.
It does.
You know, our Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he died for us so we could have fellowship with the Father and be part of his family forever. Our Heavenly Father's nature far exceeds the nature of an earthly father who deeply loves his own children. The tribulation is a time of judgment, not a time of comfort. God's wrath is poured out on the wicked, not on his church. Now, we encourage you to study the scriptures for yourself and grow in understanding of the Father's great love for you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.